Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Liz. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And today happens to be a red shirt Friday. But what we do when we gather is that we continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. You know, I've had many experiences in the past week. Most of you know that my dearest friend on the planet is Marty Beard. This past weekend, I went to North Dakota. We had a celebration of life of his 52-year-old wife, Crystal Beard, who went to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this past couple of weeks. And that was, if you can say that a celebration of life was an amazing experience and service, it was. And I know that because six people came to me afterwards, and the church is packed in Bismarck. And they came to me and they said that was the best service I've ever attended. And it's 100% because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was present. So that continues to be, and here's the thing about that. Marty is still dealing with it. We had a number of people, hundreds and hundreds of people, that day are celebrating the life. Marty's dealing with it every single day. And he walks into that empty house every day and every night. And so for Marty Beard, it's been a trying week. But I spent 4 days in North Dakota after that and have had the opportunity to visit with a lot of great folks. I'm going to share some of those conversations with you here today, particularly in the first half of this Red Shirt Friday, because there's a tremendous project in the Badlands of North Dakota that I want to talk about. And then we're going to have Trevor Thrasher join us. He is in Omaha and a former Green Beret, third generation United States military personnel. And I hope you caught him earlier today on Loose Tales, because I talked about the generational families that make this all work. But let's first go to the Badlands of North Dakota in Dunn County, just outside of Kildare.
The Lou standing in the middle of the Badlands of North Dakota, the place, Rod, that I wanted to live for so long. I wanted to live in Dunn County, North Dakota, but nobody would find me an outfit, and now they all cost too much. Is this you saying you didn't want me in Dunn County? Is that what you're saying?
No, you're welcome anytime.
All right, we have a team of five, and Roger, we're going to start with you. What's the impetus behind this project?
So the Injured Military Wildlife Project of North Dakota is a group of citizens here in Southwest North Dakota that think it's important to pay our veterans back for the service that they did for our country. And to let you know how it began, our founder, Glenn Geetson, he was a Vietnam veteran, and he went to Vietnam with his two brothers. One brother, Gene Geetson, got killed in action after the war. Glenn always thought it would be the appropriate thing to do to get an organization to honor veterans for their service and honor them in the North Dakota way, and that is bring them out to the Badlands to show them that we did appreciate their service. So this is how it began. We got together as a small group. We solicited a major organization who supports veterans in America. We wanted to start a chapter here in North Dakota. So we called down to that chapter, the home office, and said, we'd like to get a chapter here in North Dakota. How does it work? Well, this is how it works. We're going to send you the paperwork, and you can enroll with us. I said, okay, we want to be a 501c3, obviously you're a 501c3. How does the money work? How do we get our money for doing our projects? Well, you're going to solicit the money there in North Dakota, and then you'll send it to us, and then we will send you the amount that we think you need. At that time, a group of us, Dan Dolichek included, sat down and said, you know what? We're going to do this here in North Dakota. So we decided to get our own 501c3, and we put a board together, and we are a non-compensated board. We are 501c3 not-for-profit board, and we just did it ourselves.
Dan, is that his way of saying you don't get to be a fat cat as a board member?
Actually, when we started, I was the president for the first several years, and it's been a rewarding experience ever since.
And a lot of community involvement and people who are supportive. Who's not going to be supportive of saying thank you to the veterans in any way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any person we approach, say, to a deer hunt or whatever, they're more than open arms, more than welcomed. So it's very, very community oriented.
Rod, I have to ask you this because I've said this a number of times and Roger kind of walked me into it, but if it had not been for the lack of respect and the outright stupidity of the American citizens and the treatment of the Vietnam veterans coming home, we would not appreciate all veterans today as much as we did. So as much as sacrifice as there is, that degree of sacrifice by the Vietnam veterans, I think, has gone a long way to me as one, just an example, saying we're never going to let that happen on our watch again. So for your service, I say thank you. And for that sacrifice that doesn't often get recognized, I say thank you.
You are very welcome. And I was recently on the honor flight out of Bismarck to Washington, D.C., and it was a wonderful experience for me. I enjoyed all of the welcoming that was never there during my years of the service.
That is a tremendous thing. I mean, there's so many excellent programs, but the Honor Flight, I've been in D.C. when people flew in from Kansas to the Honor Flight. I got to visit with them. It is one of the areas where you just need to make sure everybody gets the opportunity to get out there.
It's very emotional for me at that time. But also with injured military, in 2019, I was able to hunt or call the Theodore Roosevelt National Park with elk hunting. And I was able to be part of that during that period of time. Met with Roger. He talked to me about helping out, and I've written grants and different things before, so this is my job now with injured military. I write grants, ask for donations, and I really appreciate the giving something back now.
All right, Chris, we found a job and a purpose for everybody but you. I mean, what's your purpose here?
I currently serve as the vice president, but the biggest thing that I do is help on the IT marketing technical side of things, just to make sure that we're able to further our mission out into the community. I know one of the biggest things we're looking at in the future is to try to expand not just into the wildlife side of things, but hopefully be able to offer some of the medical devices that they might need that can't afford and things like that.
Well, unfortunately, there can be great programs, but if you don't have a good outreach, and back in the day that might have been a newspaper or a radio, today it might be TV, radio, newspaper, but also social media and getting the word out, because the great program that nobody knows about doesn't do anybody any good.
Exactly. You know, and that's the hardest thing right now. I mean, is trying to get our name out there and, you know, getting beyond just this southwest part of North Dakota. But I think we've got a good team now and we're going to get it done.
Roger, wrapping up this first segment here, we are here for a reason. We're in the Badlands in this particular area. It offers a very great opportunity and unique perspective for hunting.
It does. And I want to go back to a point, and after listening to Rod here talk about his homecoming from Vietnam, there's a story behind everything. And I was not going to mention it, but after Rod spoke, I think I need to mention it. There's a story behind every group. And our story is when our founder, Glenn Geetson, came back on the plane, he went and escorted his brother's body back. And there was 23 Marines in caskets on that plane. And there was 23 escorts. Their first landing when they got back to the mainland was in California. And Glenn said, we were all mentally and physically exhausted. And we landed the plane. And I remember looking out the window, and as the caskets were rolled on the tarmac, how do I say this? They were being disrespected. They were being disrespected. So he said all the Marines got off the plane and it was a hand-to-hand combat. He said I got every town we came into closer got a little bit less violent. I was the only one left on the plane, he said, and I was wondering how I could defend my brother's body against a bunch of radical people on the tarmac. He said as we flew over the airport in Bismarck, the VFW was lined up armed, and he said we just want to thank veterans our own way.
All right guys, it's a little breezy out here. We'll find some cover and come back with the second leg of the journey on Roll Route. And you know, everything we're talking about here is also the impetus that built the All-American Beef Battalion. Check that out as well, steaksfortroops.com. We're back with more Roll Route Retro Friday after this. Welcome back, Redshirt Friday, Trent Luce. We are standing in the Badlands of North Dakota here today with Roger Cadamus at his place.
I've just determined one thing. Roger Cadamus asked us to come over here to his home place to finish this entire discussion because he wants to talk about the sturdy alley working alley behind us. Are you a salesman for them?
You know, I'm not, but it's been an experience. I was shopping around, long story short, for a crowding tub for my cows, and I chose Sturdy Products. I mean, their products are good products. They're made right here in North Dakota, made in Bismarck. I purchased it brand new, and the paint started peeling, as you can see.
Piece of junk. Throw it away.
Nope. So I went ahead, called over to Sturdy. I talked to the people at Sturdy Products, and they were surprised, sent them pictures, and this is only the second one in their long career of doing this that it happened to. And they said, you know what, you bring it back and we're going to give you a brand new one. That's some service, huh?
Yeah, it'll be real service, Sturdy family, when you say, you know what, we can't do anything with this one. Trent, would you just take it to Nebraska? Just like it is. It doesn't matter. Dan, let's quit talking about that. Yeah. We are standing in front of a big white freezer cooler behind us. Tell us about this.
This, we decided we had a need for that. With the elk program that we have with the park here in North Dakota and our bison program, we need a place to hang our carcasses after they're processed, and this fills our need. You know, we hang them in here for a week or two, however long it takes, before we can get them to the processing plant. So it's been a big purchase for us, and it's well worth it.
And there's multi-species of animals. We can talk about deer, elk, caribou, grizzly bear. How many different things do you process?
About some jackrabbit if you wanted to. We have multiple programs. So we started out with the deer program. We get 10 tags from state of North Dakota. Now we've been doing it 13 years. We were solicited. We contacted the park back and forth and finally came up with an agreement with the park. So we assist the park in their culling of elk every year. In the south unit, and then we also assist the park with their bison. Sometimes they need a place for their bison to go, and something gets out or something like that they cannot put in, they actually try to put them in, and so we utilize those animals in our program. We hand them out to needy veterans, and we recently just started a program with Stockman's Livestock in Dickinson. Austin over there, just a tremendous guy, and we asked for some help, and they donate beef to us, which we then hand out through Stark County Sheriff and Dunn County Sheriff's Department, who then hand it out to needy veterans in the community.
In fact, during the break, I got a note from a friend of mine, longtime friend Janelle Harris in Dunn County, who works at the food pantry, and she was just bragging about you that you donated ground beef.
Well, you know, the word bragging, our motto is, it's amazing what somebody can do if nobody takes the credit. So everybody that we've went to, all the businesses, all the people we went to ask for their help for this program, Dan and I are original members. We started out with nothing, and we grew it to this. It took a lot for us to get here. Everybody we go to and ask for help or ask for funds or even funds for this trailer or Fisher Industries, the trailer behind us, they always support us. And we are a full 501c3 non-compensated board. We don't take anything. We just give. And I think that's what makes this thing a success.
And Dan, this trailer here that we're looking at that we can string up a buffalo with, or an IT guy that doesn't do his job, that's pretty handy. I mean, you can go anywhere, anytime, and pick a critter up that's going to weigh quite a bit and have a teeter-totter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been depending on local farmers or ranchers with a loader tractor whenever the need arises, and that's not always available, so this will be a godsend for us to get them processed and taken care of.
It's just a multifaceted approach where you not only provide the opportunity for veterans, injured veterans, to go hunting, but you're also working at supplying needed food, protein, in the community. So, it just continues to grow and supply what the needs of the community are.
This thing came out of nowhere. We thought our deer program was the end of the line. That was going to be our forever project. And like I said, then the park came along, and we've been working with them for close to 8 years. And it just works. You know, I mean, it's brought to us for a reason. And it just works.
And do you need landowners to call and say, hey, if you want to come and hunt at our place, you can do that?
We've always looking for more places to hunt. That's a big part of our deer program, is having a place to take a hunter out to. I mean, that's getting harder and harder nowadays. We've got several in the Kildare area that have been very grateful or generous over the years, and so far we've been getting by, so it's been going good.
Roger, where do people go if they want to get more information?
Well, first of all, I want to thank two people who you just kind of talked about the program. One is Bob and Brenda Carson out of Grassy Butte, lifetime sustainers. They've been helping us since day one. Gene Harris, tremendous guy, big heart, helping us since day
one.
From Kildare.
Had to be a different Gene Harris than I knew.
It's probably only one.
No, he actually is the one who called me, told me about Janelle, but he also said that they've been bringing hunters out since the thing started, and it's that kind of community support that makes it work.
Yeah. So to answer your question, you can go to InjuredMilitaryWildlifeProjectOfNorthDakota.com. That is our website. On there, you can apply for a deer opportunity. You can apply for an elk opportunity. And we take those applications and go through them. And we'll work with them.
And there's one other thing that we need to talk about, guys, before we let everybody go. And that is that you mentioned the outreach. We talked about the community, but the first responders, we talked about the veterans, but the first responders in every town, every community, are the unsung heroes in my mind. And I know you're utilizing their assets as well.
So we explored some options about handing meat out through the community. And you always run into the same problem. You know, who knows who has the communication device to get this meat out. And we'll hand out some years close to 8,000 pounds of packaged meat. So Gary Kuhn, he is the Dunn County Sheriff, and Corey Lee, he is the Stark County Sheriff. We met with those two guys and their teams, and they've been a tremendous success for us. When we have an animal down, be it a bison or be it a beef, all we have to do is pick the phone up and call either of those guys, and they'll be on site and they'll process it, and they're in charge of our distribution. That way, we're doing our job serving veterans, not trying to hand meat out. We have first responders doing that. They know who needs it in the community.
That's fantastic. Although I'm a little worried about that Sheriff Corey Lee. He's a big canine handler. He might just be feeding hounds.
Well, I see you got a big box in the back of your truck, so I think we can take care of that problem.
Dan, did you have any idea you'd reach this milestone?
No, I sure haven't. I mean, from the day we started this and testified at the state legislature about our program to what it is now, it's been a great run, and I hope it goes for many more years. I guess with the deer program, my two boys want to help out every year, and they tag along on the hunts, and they're kind of our pack mules, and they get to know the veterans, and they stay in contact after years of the hunt. So they know what a real American hero is now compared to a football player or a rock star, whatever. They know what an American hero is with these veterans. So it's training people for our future here, I guess.
You know, you as a listener or viewer have a choice. You can sit there and say, boy, that's a great idea. And Dan said it's been a good run.
And it all started right here in Dunn County because there were champions. We got Dan, we got Roger, and we had Rod and Chris earlier. You can be the champion in your region to do the same thing, to say thank you to those that have enabled our ability to have free American citizenship for 247 years and counting. Thanks to all in Dunn County. Trent, on the loose. God bless the veterans and the farmers who feed them.
Hey, the Rainbow of Ropes brings you some wisdom at the Gold Buckle Tax Shop with Marty. And it doesn't have to be Monday.
It can be Tuesday, but anytime you need a colored rope, you just come to us. We got the Rainbow of Ropes.
Or the wisdom of the rainbow. What?
Captain Call, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if cattle thieves come?
I have no idea.
Pull our weapons? Nothing like a nice AR-15 to take care of cattle thieves.
Gus, you got a problem.
What?
It's out of time. This is 1883. We didn't have AR-17s.
But they would have. They've got.
I just had to play a little Marty before we got out of this segment. We're going to come back. Green Beret, Trevor Thrasher is up next. I want to say thank you once again to all veterans and first responders. The All American Beef Battalion, steaksfortroops.com. And don't forget to check out Greg Hager Music. Greg Hager appreciates the veterans as much as I do. That reminds me, that video needs to get done today with the veterans. GregHager.com. We're back with the second half roll route just ahead. Welcome back. Redshirt Friday, Trent Luce, roll route to the program. Now joining me, Trevor Thrasher from Omaha and 88 Tactical.
I'm not in any way, shape, or form a Franklin Delano Roosevelt fan, Trevor Thrasher. But the coined idea of a fireside chat's pretty cool, and we got a fire.
Well, I don't think he coined that idea. It's probably, you know, several hundred thousand years old, at least.
First of all, thank you for your service, United States Army, Green Beret. But you said something earlier that really captured my attention, is you're not the first generation to serve this country in your family.
That's correct. My grandfather was in the Army Air Corps. My father served in Vietnam as a fighter pilot, and he flew F-4 Phantoms. And then I, you know, now serve as a Green Beret. So Army Air Corps is kind of a mix, you know, Air Force and Army at the time. Then my dad went Air Force and supported Special Forces camps in Vietnam, and then I became a Green Beret.
Did you get much information from your grandfather?
I did. Now, he served mostly, his role was mostly outside of the front lines. So he didn't have a lot of, you know, frontline experience, but he did a couple of unique things, including watching prisoners here in Nebraska. And a lot of people don't know that, you know.
Was he in Atlanta?
I don't know if he was.
Camp in Atlanta was the biggest prison of war camp during World War II.
I don't remember where exactly he was, but I know there, according to him at least, there were some prisoners here in Nebraska as well. I don't know if he watched them specifically.
No, Atlanta Nebraska.
Nebraska?
By Kearney.
Now you got me. Maybe. I'd have to check.
I'm going to put this in the history books because I don't think I'll ever hear that word again. You got me from Trevor Thrasher, because you are very, very well versed on this nation.
Well, I am, but you're asking me to pull out of my file cabinet something I haven't pulled out for a long time, so it's a little rusty.
And sometimes you got to reboot the computer.
Yeah, I could, you know, he carried a 32 auto, Colt 32 auto semi-automatic handgun, and he used to say that the threat was always if you let a prisoner escape, you would have to finish his sentence. I thought that was kind of interesting.
He was at Camp Atlanta. I'm here to tell you, Trevor.
It may very well have been. My father is the one to ask. My father now has a memory like a steel trap, and he will know every one of those details.
How has he responded to the Vietnam situation? I'm not talking about the war in Vietnam. I'm talking about how the country treated him when they came home.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, my dad came to my first homecoming from a deployment in Iraq in 2007, 2008. And we came back to Colorado Springs. And we arrived in our plane. We had a bunch of nice ladies that brought us McDonald's food. We drove to the base. We had fire trucks lined up with the hoses and the water cannons, making an archway for us, and great fanfare. And as proud as my father was of me, you could see how deeply troubled he was that nothing like that occurred for him and the warriors that went to war with him.
I said this already once this week on this program to a Vietnam veteran, and I mean it wholeheartedly, because I'm part of a group called the All-American Beef Battalion, founded by a late Vietnam veteran, Bill Brody. And he and I had a lot of discussions, and he wouldn't talk about Vietnam until 13 years ago. He created the All-American Beef Battalion, where we have now fed right at 500,000 people a one-pound ribeye and cheesy potatoes and dinner roll dessert upon deployment or return from deployment to Iraq, Afghanistan, and everywhere since. And Fort Carson has been the most common place that we've been. But Bill and I talked about this, and he said, you know, we paid the price, and how we were treated when we came home. And by the way, he had two Purple Hearts stolen from him while he was in a hospital in Philadelphia with a leg amputated. I mean, that's about as disrespect as you can get. And yet, in so many ways, because of the sacrifice of the Vietnam veterans, the nation has woke up. That's a terrible word in today's vocabulary. The nation has had a great awareness to, we must show our appreciation or respect, and can never let that happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that I stand on the shoulders of giants. And what he experienced in Vietnam was something that society took and transformed into what they gave us, and the pride and the appreciation that they showed my unit, at least on its face, that's what they did for us. So yeah, absolutely, I know that is something that they had to endure, and they had to suffer to make sure that no one else suffered for the same reasons. So
just like just like agricultural families, there's so many families in the military that are generational. You're third generation. That's not uncommon.
No, it isn't. I mean, there's something to be said for that. And truthfully, each family of each generation really should be prepared to have somebody join the military, or should have somebody in the military. It keeps everybody attached to the mission. And, you know, America stands alone in a lot of ways. And, you know, our enemies might have changed, and to some degree they're the same as they were, you know, from decades ago. But you have to be prepared, you know, to fight for what you have. And everybody has to be part of that sacrifice. Like, I just maybe going off on a tangent here, but, you know, one change I would make would be that if we were involved in any military conflict, not declared war, just any military conflict where there's boots on the ground, after 1 year, there should be an automatic draft with almost zero people being ineligible from it. And I think that would change a lot of our overseas policy very quickly. When congressmen and their children, multi-billionaires and their kids are all equally susceptible to being drafted, I think that would change people's perception about when we should or when we shouldn't go to war.
You had multiple deployments, I know, as part of the United States Army. Is there any experience in the world of freedom like we have in the United States?
There's nowhere in the world like this. I mean, if you just look in the news today, 2,500 people were arrested in the last year in the United Kingdom for speech. Like, arrested simply for speech. You know, I saw a video of a lady who was arrested for silently praying at the wrong location. Not even saying a word, silently praying. Canada right now, there's legislation being passed, and some people interpret it as being so harsh that you could be imprisoned for life for some of your opinions, essentially, and that there is some indicator they're trying to make it a crime so they can arrest you if they think you might post something that is insensitive on social media. So we are it, and people don't understand how true that really is.
Nor do they understand how close we are to losing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, freedom, again, was hard won, and then the mistake people think is that, oh, we won it, it's ours now. It's like, no, you got to fight for it. Every generation has to fight for freedom one way or another, and I'll be honest with you, I think the last generation kind of lost that fight, so we're going to have to regain the initiative here very quickly.
How concerned are you about the demoralization of our military?
I'm extremely concerned about it. Something along the lines of 40% of young people today said they wouldn't serve to defend this country even if we were attacked by a foreign army. you're just not safe under those conditions. What that tells me is they just don't value the same principles I value. But most of those kids are very ignorant about how the world really is. And that's done on purpose in the school systems. They really keep kids ignorant of how the world works. They really, you know, train them, coach them, indoctrinate them into what to think instead of how to think. Like, I work part-time in law enforcement still. I was a full-time police officer for a while. I pulled some young kid over the other day, and instead of giving him a ticket, I said, I'll tell you what, I won't give you a ticket if you can tell me the three branches of government. And he panicked for just a little bit. And he was, you know, a high school kid, young, and, you know, and then he had it, and he knew what each branch did. And so, you know, let him go on his way. And the funny thing was, I got a call on working in the county there. I got a call on some suspicious parties in a back road. Some cars around a fire or something like that. Drove out there, was a kid and his friends, and they were all having the party. We got out just to see how they were doing. And he's like, that's the officer that stopped me earlier. And all the kids came up and started telling me, hey, we know the three branches of government. It's like they were all training each other in case they got pulled over by me so they wouldn't get a ticket. But
you should.
I probably did more than their high school history teacher.
You should pack around one of these so you can hand to those kids and say, hey, you should get a refresher course
Should, honestly, if I had a stack of these, I'd carry them around and hand them to people.
I can make that happen.
Because it's, you know, in law enforcement today, it's a really tough balance. And I see law enforcement do things all the time that I question. I'm like, man, I'm not going to be part of that. And you have to explain to people what their rights and freedoms are as well. And then law enforcement, it's just in such a tough place right now because of our political climate. It's a very, very, very difficult job to wade through. I'm lucky I work for a smaller department, a very conservative pro-police area. And so my life is easy. But I worked most of my career inner city, literally in the projects area. So quite a difference between where I am now and where I was in the past.
We have a lot of people that just stay so mesmerized about what's happening in D.C. This book tells me that what's happening here, and are we in Douglas County or Sarpy?
We're actually in Sarpy County.
Okay, and what's
happening? It's weird. It's an Omaha address, but Sarpy County.
What's happening here in Sarpy County is more important than what's happening in Lincoln, quite frankly, or what's happening in D.C., and it all comes back to that county sheriff, and we need to embrace and develop a relationship and make sure that we remind the county sheriff that his job, his or her job, is to fight enemies, foreign and domestic.
And uphold this. 100%.
First and foremost.
And we really got to look at the sheriffs to do it, because I can tell you firsthand, a lot of police chiefs are politicians disguised as leadership. That's what I like to call them. And that's really what most of them are, especially in the big cities. They're not selected because they're great proponents of the Constitution or that they're very effective police officers. There's a lot of other reasons they're selected, and unfortunately, they're usually selected by politicians.
Yeah. Well, I won't put Trevor in this position, but I could go down a path on what's going on with the Omaha City Council right now, and it appears as though they only got one that understands what that book actually means. We'll take a break, because otherwise we'll just get him in trouble, because he lives here. I'm going home. We'll be back with more Trevor Thrasher from 88 Tactical in Omaha, talking about what do we do here and the training programs and what should we know about the Second Amendment and the right for a well-regulated militia. More, those are my words, not his. More after this. Let's talk about healthy elements and atmosphere. Started my day today like every day. First thing, every day. Well, actually, it might be the second thing. I take a nitrate supplement. It's called NO2U. Nitric oxide 2, number 2, letter U. Get details, and if you decide to order, make sure you put Trent as a coupon code. That gets you free shipping. I think it actually gets you other perks as well, but I can guarantee you, you'll pay no shipping. Trent is your coupon code. Dr. Nathan Bryan has the science and explains exactly why this is vitally important. It is vitally important that your nitrate levels are appropriate for your heart. Number one, for cardiovascular performance. It's that simple. Get details online and order NO2U.com, certified Piedmontese, creating the opportunity for you as a Great Plains cattleman to be a part of a system, and the demand just continues to skyrocket all of a sudden now in our grass-fed division. I'm not a grass-fed fan, but people want grass-fed. We produce grass-fed. It's an option. It's not mandatory. We believe in options. Get more details as a consumer about the tender beef guarantee and how the Piedmontese breed will make that happen. Best part of the deal, you don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. CPBeef.com. Check out the protein plethora online
and I would suggest you do it today. Our Piedmontese cattle just absolutely perform well. I've always been a limousine enthusiast, and these cattle are doing better. Even the attitude is better. I can't believe it. TPBeef.com. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back. Roll Route on this Red Shirt Friday. I'm Trent Luce.
Trevor Thrasher. We're coming to you from 88 Tactical. I got a feeling we're going to migrate back to the Constitution, which I'm good with. But first of all, it's not my first time. You got this guy named Randy Goodwin?
Yeah, he kind of floats around, causes trouble.
I'm not sure he shed a good light on this place when I had him on the air back in January a year ago, so I needed you to fix it.
Well, I will do my best.
Of course, he's going to say neither one of us look as good as him, so, you know.
Well, he's a good liar. You know, he's an actor, and as an actor, it's mandatory that you're a good liar because everything you say is a lie.
Well, he's just reading a script.
Yeah, it's somebody else trying to pretend that he's somebody else, but I'm comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable, Randy, so take that. I want to tell you what. That hot Ryan that I just had that Randy told me to have.
The prime rib?
Oh, brother.
I just had it, too, the first time I've had it. I was looking at the menu, and I'm actually trying to cut a little weight for the summer, and I asked my partner, I go, hey, what's up with this hot rye? And he goes, I just had it yesterday. I'm having it today. I go, that tells me all I need to know.
Oh, I want to tell you what. Wow. I feel a little bit like some sort of a dine and drive show, Kai, because I think, like, the onion-flavored gravy is just perfect with the sourdough bread. There's a tremendous heap of prime rib and the mashed potatoes. It's just the perfect combination.
The different textures in there.
Yes.
You cut it with a fork, and I'm just like, how do they put this together? It's like, yeah, it's like crazy, right? It's 88 Tactical, and here we're talking about, you know, the sandwich.
Yeah, it's a gun range, and we're talking about food. Describe 88 Tactical.
So 88 Tactical is a community center for people that happen to have a interest in firearms at some point in their life. So we're really all about, you know, alignment with people who value freedom and human rights, such as the right of self-defense. But instead of being just a gun range, and we are a gun range, we are a community center. We have a restaurant, we have a bar, we have a speakeasy, which we're in right now. We have a fitness center, we have a mat room for like jujitsu. We have other classroom and training spaces up here, an event space. And ultimately we're gonna have an outdoor area here. You'll be able to play pickleball and use the pool. So we're a little bit of everything here.
Yeah, it is a little bit of everything. Who would ever guess that you could have all these things under one roof? And I've got to tell you, it's my fourth time here, Trevor. People are in and out of here nonstop. I can't imagine the number of people that come here.
Yeah, I mean, our membership is in the thousands, and people just love this place. Like I said, they come here and they can just be themselves. We're not pretentious. You know, it's some people would call us a country club, but I don't like the idea of a country club because that seems a little pretentious to me. But we're for, you know, everyday American people.
And you're in the training division. It's very important. Well, while we believe in the Second Amendment, we believe in every part of this Constitution, it's important to be trained.
100%. You alluded to it a little bit during the break. You know, you talked about a well-regulated militia. And I believe the terminology back then for regulated meant that it was well-trained. So if you want to be part of the well-regulated militia, you better get some training. And it's a real simple fact. Everything that we get, every freedom we get, has a certain amount of responsibility with it, right? And so don't let that go to waste. That freedom was hard, again, talked about, hard won. We stand on the shoulder of giants for sure. But don't piss down on them by not getting any training and being irresponsible with that right, because that will just lead to problems.
And I've got to believe that people are hungry to handle a firearm correctly.
I'll tell you what, especially when COVID hit, our classes were through the roof. I think we trained 5,000 to 10,000 people over the COVID period, because everybody saw the failing of government and the fact that they had to ultimately be able to take care of themselves. So there's a lot of people concerned about their personal safety right now, and they should be. They should be.
You're going to understand this at a whole new level, Trevor. September 21st, 2012, it was so etched in my mind. I'll never forget the day. We were feeding the All-American Beef Battalion. We were feeding 300 wounded warriors. Not one of them had two arms, two legs. Yeah, and I met retired four-star general, United States Marine Corps, Jimmy Williams. And we were having a conversation very similar to this, and I was saying thank you. And he turned to me in a Marine drill sergeant kind of a way, and he said, don't give lip service to these guys who risk their lives and lose these limbs for your freedom. They protect these rights for you. If you don't use them, you're not saying thank you enough.
100% agree with him. What people don't understand, just a little side note here, is because of modern medicine, we have a lot of people surviving wounds. And a lot of those wounds are based on IEDs and things like that. Surviving wounds, they never would have survived in other wars. So you see a casualty count like 3,000 soldiers lost in Iraq, and it's like you're not taking into account the 30,000 that have been horribly maimed that would have also probably been dead at any other time in our history except for medical advances. And those guys, you know, the saying is that, you know, everybody gave something and some gave all, and like those guys are really close to giving it all. And their families go to war with them. And when they come home, their families have to continue to fight the battle that just started when they got home and they're missing a leg or they're missing an arm. So it's tough. And there's some great ones out there. Like I have some friends, you know, who are missing limbs that feel less sorry for themselves and my friends that might have a bad back, you know, 2 days out of the week. And so, yeah, you always got to remember those people, man. They're tough.
Yeah, way to rub it in, Trevor. I played a celebrity softball game against Wounded Warriors, and not one of them had two legs, and we got beat.
Yeah. What's that warrior attitude? You know, you don't quit.
I know. They were awesome.
You know, you lose an arm, it's like, well, I got another one. You lose two arms and a leg, you're like, well, I still got one good leg. It's just the way you got to think. You just got to have that never quit, never die attitude.
We fed at Walter Reed, too. And what you said, we learned up close and personal. Because at Walter Reed, I had another general. He looked at us and he said, look at these kids. And we looked around. He said, Vietnam, not one of these kids are here. They died on the front lines.
He's right.
He said, our medical advanced teams have progressed so much that we save kids who lose a limb that died in Vietnam.
Yeah, I had some hard talks with some of my medics and other teammates about what level of wound we were willing to return home to. And at a certain point in time, we didn't want to put a burden on our families. So it's not a discussion most people would ever even think that they would have in their life, but it's literally like it's something we did and something that meant a lot to us. I mean, there was a certain point where I would not want to come home and present myself to my family in a state that required them to have to take care of me and I could provide them nothing in return. I would rather just die there in the battlefield.
I will never cease in my appreciation or respect for you, your family, and those everyone who has served. And I'm going to include first responders because everything is about the community, and those first responders are there. When the whistle blows, they drop everything, they go. But it's become very apparent to me in the past couple of years that these wars, including World War I, World War II, Vietnam, are just little chess games for the wealthy people in the world. How do we fix that?
Oh, that's a tough one. So, you know, lessons learned from my father's experience in Vietnam are the exact same lessons that I learned in my, you know, 20 years in and out of Afghanistan, and I spent quite a few years in and out of Iraq as well. It's the same thing going on. The military-industrial complex is huge. We have a massive federal government that could hand away our tax money, you know, wherever they can get the most votes from. So a lot of times it goes to the military-industrial complex, and it's the fix is going to be difficult. I think I gave you one suggestion. Anytime we're in any type of armed conflict for over a year, even if it's just anything where there's boots in the ground and there's violence, automatic situation where you have a draft and almost nobody's excluded. There's none of these exclusions for college or I don't. Maybe you're missing a leg, right? I don't care. You can sit in a wheelchair in a trailer and fly a drone for me. You know, or you can sit somewhere and jam magazines for me and I will do the rest of the work. But nobody should be able to enjoy freedom without taking some part of the risk.
Final thing, Trevor, is that I was recently in Eagle Pass, Texas. I got a tour from the Texas National Guard. You mentioned early on in this conversation that if our country were invaded, 40% of the people would not engage and stand for country like they did in World War II. We are being invaded, and it's time to figure out who's going to stand with us and who's not.
Yeah, actually, my unit was down there, my 19th Special Forces Group was down there on the border helping out the best they could. And that's a big disaster right now. And that's all by design, again, just like, you know, wokeism is all by design, equity, all that stuff has been given to us by design to weaken us. And this is another example of it. Now, no decent person would blame an immigrant for wanting to have a better life and come to America. The blame lies within us and our own policies that allow that. And in fact, it creates a very inhumane situation for them, in a very unfair situation for the citizens that are here that should be the focus. So we definitely got to get that border fixed. The idea that walls don't work is counter to everything I've learned in my life as a warrior, as a fighter for the military, or in any other security-based capacity. Walls 100% work, but until you secure that border, there's no other policy that's gonna matter. So step one is you absolutely have to secure that border, and we can definitely do it. Trump wanted $5 billion for a wall. I saw the other day that New York is already spending $10 billion on their immigrant influx, like double the price of that wall that he would have put up, and that's just a start.
It's like 10% of what we've sent to the Ukraine.
It's nothing, it's nothing. So. Yeah, Ukraine.
It wasn't about the money.
Yeah, Ukraine is not what people think it is either, as I'm sure you're probably aware.
Oh, this could turn into a mini-series right here. That's what I'm hearing. Sir, thank you for your service.
Appreciate your
and your loyalty to this country.
And I'm just a little upset that all I got was a McDonald's hamburger and not a piece of prime rib when I got back, so maybe we'll fix that.
What you should be upset about is Randy ate all the pork jerky I brought. God bless the veterans and the farmers who feed us. And stop by 88 Tactical when you're in Omaha.
All right. Yeah, you're going to wish you had that ribeye from the All-American Beef Battalion. Thank you, Trevor. Simpson Farm Enterprises of Hays, Kansas would like you to get more information about the Apache sprayers, the innovation, the technology, the reliability. But most importantly, Simpson prides themselves in service. And anybody who's ever done business with Simpsons knows that they get the job done. When you call, you're going to talk to somebody that's been there, done that, and that is the most important thing in today's service component. I want to talk to somebody who reads it out of a manual. These are people that get it done. Smokey makes it happen. More details about the Apache sprayers at two places. If you're in the Northern Great Plains, go to highplainsapache.com. Anywhere in the southern part of the Great Plains, or wherever you're listening, go to Simpson Farm. It doesn't matter. You could be in Alabama. Contact Simpson Farm Enterprises. We'll find a way to make it happen. Simpson Farm Enterprises. Certified Piedmontese continuing to bring home the bacon. Yeah, there's bacon available, too, on the Piedmontese website. Certified Piedmontese is a plethora of protein. We are in the protein era. Everybody understands it's high-quality protein. But here's the deal. When you get protein from Certified Piedmontese, I'm talking about beef now, Piedmontese beef, it's tender, and everyone recognizes that the protein you get is upcycled from cellulose material. That doesn't relevant to many people. But what is relevant, there is more nutrient density in 3 ounces of beef than any other food substance on the planet. Details at cpbeef.com. And don't forget to put Trent as your coupon code in case you order. You don't have a coupon code with cpbeef. But no2u.com, you definitely do. Nitric oxide is essential. Healthy living. no2u.com. Have a great weekend.